Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Mentorship Matters with Dave and Liz. On this podcast, we share our thoughts on mentorship, career paths, and how to succeed as a corporate and securities lawyer. I'm Liz Dunshee, and I am pleased to be joined today by my co-host and one of my favorite mentors, Dave Lynn, as well as our special guests, Angela Liu and Jessica Lewis. Angela and Jessica are both successful securities litigation partners with strong commitments to pro bono, thought leadership, and the legal community. Angela is in Deckert's New York office, and Jessica is a partner in WilmerHale's Silicon Valley office. So we are nationwide today. And Angela and Jessica recently co-authored a Law 360 article about the value that mentorship can bring to lawyers' business development activities. That article caught our eye, and we were delighted that Angela and Jessica could join us today for a conversation about it. So, thank you for being here. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Great. We really appreciate you joining us. And in your article that Liz mentioned, you did emphasize that there's a trend sometimes for lawyers to view mentorship as a luxury that isn't really something that they can dedicate their time to. And how can we shift that perspective to really think of mentor relationships as enjoyable and integral to our strategic business development?
Yeah, thanks so much, Dave. This is something that Angela and I have talked a lot about, and I think something you often hear among other partners is, I'd love to do that event, I'd love to do that coffee, I'd love to do that whatever, but I'm just too busy. I'm underwater, and I don't have time to mentor. And I think, Angela and I feel pretty strongly about the value of mentorship and that, if done well and effectively, it can actually save you a ton of time. And we think that it can also really significantly grow your network. And so for me in my practice, it's really taking a longer term view of mentorship, that it's not that initial coffee or, just mentoring a first year when you're a partner. It's really just growing your network. Because those folks that are first years, second years, third years, they're junior to you now. But I often joke with many of our superstars that I may be reporting to them someday, and I look forward to that, these are folks who are rock stars, who are talented, who may join you in the partnership at your firm and be a tremendous asset, or they may be your client someday. And they may be on the other side of the table at the government. So, to me, thinking about mentorship as building your network in the longer term by teaching the next generation is really the better perspective that can make that initial time feel more worthwhile.
That's so true, Jess. I mean, the thing that I wanted to add is really, we're already doing this. I mean, everyone's already mentoring, right? You're already putting in time for this. You're offering suggestions, editing a brief, editing an email, how you treat your colleagues, how you're even showing up to work. And so you're constantly mentoring other people. So it's really not just about like the extra time that you're putting in, but it's about changing your mindset around it. So, for example, just taking an extra 5 seconds to forward a client email to a mentee to show them how you handled something or CC them. It's really just using opportunities already in front of you, and we really just see it as a force multiplier on your time.
Yeah, those are great points, and consistent with what we have heard from other guests too about people who are good mentors are just always kind of keeping it in the back of their mind and looking for opportunities in their day-to-day experience to share perspectives and things. You also encourage mentees to look beyond senior partners and include professionals like marketing staff, rainmakers assistants, and paralegals. And so, for securities law practitioners who often need to collaborate across different departments, how can that broadened view of mentorship enhance their cross-functional effectiveness?
So I kind of laugh when I think about this question because the thing that came to mind was what not to do, right? So we all know these associates, right, who want to follow around a senior partner. They're trying to get FaceTime at all costs. They're looking really fake. And you look at them and you're like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And that's just not really where we personally want to focus, right? Instead, I would really urge people to take a holistic view of the ecosystem. And, I'll say personally, some of my greatest tips have come from eating lunch with assistants because they've really seen it all. I mean, they're smart, they're high powered, they literally know everything, and they're in the room. And so, my biggest piece of advice would be to take a holistic view. I mean, there are so many resources and people in the value chain, like from marketing and your talent and HR folks and paralegals, and you can learn from them and get help from them. And what Jessica and I have talked a lot about is in broadening your network, you're really just broadening your effectiveness as well.
And totally agree with that. This is something that Angela and I kind of agreed on immediately. And what I tell folks is like, look in your rear view mirror, your closest mentor may be behind you, and I'll say some of my junior associates have mentored me. They're like, what are you doing with your time entry practices? Let me tell you how to clean it up and be more efficient, that sort of thing. And I think to Angela's point, I go to trial occasionally. It's more rare in the securities practice, but we do go to trial. WilmerHale has this ace trial practice group that is supported by superstar paralegals. And so when I went to trial a year or so ago, I really paid attention to what matters to those paralegals. What kind of questions are they asking? What kind of systems do they have when it comes to tracking exhibits, displaying exhibits? They are the aces at displaying evidence in court and keeping track of the record. And so, it would have been a real mistake to come in and say, well, I'm a partner, so let me tell you guys how things are going to go. I think you say, look around, who's the expert here and what can I learn from them? And I think that that will really, as Angela says, broaden your effectiveness across an organization.
One thing I think we all can agree on as private practice lawyers is that we wear many hats and we have to do a lot of different things in the course of a day. Are there things that you think attorneys can integrate into their day-to-day routines that really can facilitate the sort of mentorship that we're talking about?
Absolutely. So I have learned, I'm in my third year of partnership. I have learned that sometimes, as a partner, in addition to taking time, giving nuanced feedback can come across as a little overbearing and micromanaging, right? So it's one thing if a third year kind of gives you tips and best practices for making a binder. It's another thing if a partner is like, here are five considerations when putting together a binder. So in addition to partners sort of having different set of expectations and demands on their time, it's also often not that effective for feedback to be given from the partnership level to more junior attorneys. So what I really try to do is kind of adopt a generational approach to mentorship. I really try to take the folks right below me under my wing and, like Angela said, show you what I'm thinking with this client call, let you know how I approach negotiations, let you know why I have a certain tone with opposing counsel in some cases and others. And I think that's kind of appropriate for their seniority. And then I make very clear to my teams that I view mentorship as part of our jobs. And that when I'm evaluating their performance, it's not just on the work product they can deliver to me, but on the work product that they can get out of the team and the mentorship that they provide the team. And I've found that when folks, and the more somebody is a superstar, the more I emphasize to them the importance of sharing their skills. And I think that when folks know that they are being evaluated by a partner on their ability to mentor, they do it very, very well, very, very effectively. And so, I expect my counsel to take those senior associates under their wing and senior associates to take those junior associates under their wing. And then it saves me a ton of time, and I'm able to build really, really great teams.
I love how you're thinking about that from a generational approach, Jess. I think that's very cool. I mean, from my perspective, we're already all working as hard as anyone I personally know. This is an extremely demanding job, and you can't think about mentoring as more time or putting in more hours because, like Jess and I joke, we really just don't have more time to give.
Right.
And so you have to think of things differently, right? So you want to shift your mindset, step into the mentee shoes or the mentor shoes, and approach even every interaction really from a put others first sort of perspective. And, effective mentorship is really, in our view, sort of these small, thoughtful investments that are prioritizing others' needs, and they really have an outsized impact without adding, extra time or extra stuff to your workload.
Right. And I love the team approach that both of you have articulated. I think that's such an important point. And you've also alluded to the fact that mentorship is a two-way street, which is something that comes up a lot in this podcast too. And so I'm interested in what you think about ways for mentees to contribute to the mentor's success. And you've already talked about how it saves you time, but are there specific examples where this has worked really well in your careers, either like when you were the mentee or now that you're the mentor in some cases?
Sure. We've both had great mentees. And I mean, I can think of, in particular, two former associates of ours and who I just adore and worked closely with. They've over-delivered for me probably every small or large assignment. And I gave them the best opportunities that I could and as many repetitions as I possibly could. And in this industry, for in securities litigation, that can be a differentiator just to how many repetitions you really get in. And so, and these mentees are off doing incredible things right now. On the flip side of that, I've been a mentee, and I will tell you, mentees definitely give back. I've had the opportunity to work with some really high-powered people. They are very extremely time constrained. And so I think you really need to practice a client first mentality as a mentee. And how do you do that? Well, first, you have to have some energy. You can't show up to work like acting too tired or complaining or being very put upon. You want to be one of those people who answers the phone and even when it's not convenient. And I anticipated and continue to anticipate my mentors' needs and make their lives easier. And I think it's what sets you apart and makes you indispensable. So, but Jess, I know you have a lot of different mentees who have contributed to your success.
Yeah, and I'll say, first and foremost, I think Angela and I both love mentoring folks. And I think that seeing somebody who maybe comes in nervous or trepidatious about big law and then really thriving is it makes the job worth doing. It really gives you a lot of satisfaction, I think, in your work. As much as we love practicing securities litigation, and get thrilled when we get a motion to dismiss granted. That's not quite the same satisfaction as seeing somebody who was had imposter syndrome on day one and then is handling a deposition, a few years later. Like that's just very cool. It gives you a lot of meaning. And I think it improves our job place satisfaction. In terms of how mentees just in general can contribute to our success as partners, my golden rule is you got to do good work, and you've got to be the best lawyer that you can be. And my job is to do whatever I can do to help you become the best lawyer you can be. But at the end of the day, what makes my life easier is helping me get great work to the client in an orderly, efficient process so that we can have an A plus brief go in ahead of the filing deadline with, without fire drills. And so really focusing, I tell mentees all the time, big law, you could get distracted by a lot of noise, but focus on your skills. And, tell me what you need to get better. As Angela said, you want to find somebody who's giving you repetition, getting you good experience. But if you just focus on becoming a great junior associate, you are going to make my life so much easier. And I'm going to want you on all of my cases. And so that's what I think is sort of, it's a two-way street, right? Like you've become great, I'll help you become great, and then stay on. You don't have to work on all of my cases, but please stay on some of my cases.
Yeah, I think one thing about this podcast is we're trying to reach both mentors and mentees, and sometimes it occurs to me it's unfortunate that you can't take a course in law school about how to be a good mentee, because it would be nice to know for them how to reciprocate and to participate. And I wonder if you could think of any sort of questions that mentees have asked you over the years where it really demonstrated to you that they were very engaged and had curiosity and really wanted to be mentored through this process we're talking about.
For sure. So I'll start by saying any questions are great. Ask us questions. I think in especially in large law firms with really high stakes matters and really impressive clients, there's a hesitancy to stick your head up and to ask questions. But I think, in case it's not clear already, Angela and I are broadcasting and bright red sirens that we want to mentor, we're here to mentor, and we love your questions. Any questions? Questions are better than no questions, right? And so I think, anything that indicates that you are not just a potted plant on a team, that you are thinking about your own career, you're thinking about the broader team dynamics, you're thinking about what the client's looking for, you're asking about the strategy. I think all of those are questions that are a signal to me, this person's not just trying to get through the day-to-day, they're really thoughtful about their career. And I think given the scarcity of time, one of the things that can make you more jaded as a mentor is when you spend a lot of time on somebody and they just sort of don't take your advice, or they kind of disappear and never tell you how something went. And so if somebody's coming to me and regularly just popping into my office, hey, why did you, I'm really curious if you have a second, why you kind of came back on this negotiation with this posture. I love that. And I think I'm a first generation college student. So the downside of that was that I had no idea what I was doing when I started at a law firm. The upside of that was that I asked a lot of questions. And those questions were, what are you looking for when somebody goes from a junior associate to a senior associate? What does it mean when you become a counsel at the firm? What do you look for in a great first year? Those kinds of questions, I think folks really, really love to answer those questions. And so asking them is I think you have to find the right people to ask in the right context, right? You probably don't want to ask in the middle of a client meeting, hey, Angela, why'd you just say that? But just showing that you're open to those conversations, that feedback, we really do appreciate it. And we really appreciate when you raise suggestions or sort of your reaction to how something's coming across. All of those are terrific. And I'll say it's pretty rare. I don't have a lot of folks raising their hand to kind of get that guidance. So you'll stand out as well.
For sure. I loved, Jess, that you mentioned it's really just not all about you. It's about the broader team, for instance. But what I sort of look for, I love people with a natural curiosity. Again, just exactly what Jess said. When someone asks me a good why question, it just shows that they're not so focused on just the immediate result or checking something off a to-do list. They're just really focused on growing and learning. And for us, it's really a real joy to watch.
Yeah, I agree that it is rewarding to watch mentees grow and watch junior associates grow. And we've been talking a lot about those internal dynamics and relationships. And I think that is what people are probably most focused on, especially those who go into law firms after law school when they're starting out in their career. Of course, over time, to your point that you've made throughout this conversation on like understanding the client perspectives, and maybe someday these people will grow up to be clients, there are broader dynamics at play. And so, do you have recommendations on ways that people can use these internal mentorship relationships to build external relationships and visibility over time?
So, from a mentee perspective, obviously, if your mentor can introduce you to someone in an external network that helps you learn and can spark growth, maybe even lead you to a first client opportunity, I mean, that's huge for you, right? But I think a lot of people don't stop to think about the other side of that interaction. And we've said it many, many times here. I mean, connections work both ways. And, I mean, Jessica and I, we met actually as mentors at a Women in Securities Litigation Network panel
I
in
love that.
February,
That's
right?
so cool.
It was organized by an associates committee. So our mentees actually recommended us to a panel. We did not know each other then. And then that snowballed into the Law 360 article. And then now we're here on this podcast. So I think it illustrates exactly how mentorship builds networks.
I think that's absolutely true. So, the story behind the associate who recommended me is I had this wonderful mentee when I was a senior associate who was a junior associate. And as soon as I met her, she was just so terrific, and you could tell. So, I was told her everything I knew about the practice of securities litigation at that point, which included details like how to make a binder, how to manage calendar invites, how to do this, how to do that. And by then I was a fifth or sixth year and she was a third year, I think. And then we got a brand new first year into the securities litigation department who came to my office and I said, it was asking me how to make a binder. And I said, I want you to come with me. And we walked down the hallway. We went into this third year's office. And I said, I want you to teach everything I taught you to this first year. And she did. And now that first year is running a lot of my cases and then got in touch with me and said, I'd really love you to do this panel to talk about mentorship. And she now does a lot of mentorship. And so from that sort of chain, I think you just build really strong relationships, and then mentorship itself is just relationship building, right? And so I think that that's as soon as I met Angela, we talked before that other event, and we just like hit it off and had a million things to say about our own practices, which were so similar, even though we didn't know each other. So it's like anything, you might not see the immediate benefit. Which goes to a point I made earlier. It's building relationships for the longer term. And I think when you do that, you really just expand your network and you expand it based on something that's really meaningful to you, which leads, I think, to more genuine connections and less sort of that, as Angela mentioned, that fake kind of, following the rainmaker around and saying, will you be my mentor?
Right.
So that's sort of how we all came full circle on this, which Angela and I were just saying is very cool.
Great. Well, thank you both so much for sharing all of your insights. And I encourage everybody to take a look at your Law 360 articles because it was just sort of chock full, very practical tips for mentorship that I think everyone would benefit from. And be on the lookout for our next episode. And thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
for having us.